Guitarathon is the greatest guitar sale on earth, and it's happening now. Get massive savings on a huge selection of electric and acoustic guitars, basses, amps, pedals, and other accessories. Get select Ernie Ball strings, 3 for $10. Save $100 on a Fender Special Edition Strat, or get a Yamaha acoustic for just $199. Plus, get special financing on select major brands. Don't miss these incredible deals. Available online and in-store, now through November 1st. Guitarathon, only at Guitar Center. Find your sound.
You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in, everybody, to a bonus episode of Locked On Rockets. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, joined today on this extra episode by Calvin Watkins, good friend of mine from ESPN.com. Calvin, what's going on, bud?
An extra episode. Wow, I'm excited.
Yeah, well, the funny thing, I did an episode earlier today and just talking about just general trade parameters, looking at the Ibaka possibility, because that rumor's kind of been on the fringe for a while. And then literally within 30 minutes of me publishing an episode, then you had your article kind of further bolstering the trade talk. And I kind of liked how you called it. You know, you just called it Rockets Trade Talk because it's an interesting article. There's a lot of ways, a lot of angles, because publicly, Daryl Morey and James Harden, they're putting out the face that, you know, there doesn't have to be a deal. We're happy with what we've got. But it sure seems like there's a little bit of posturing, because what you reported in your article on ESPN.com is that maybe it's not strong interest, maybe it's just feelers, but there are some guys that they're interested in. So why don't you fill everybody in for anybody that hadn't already read your article?
Well, today James Harden said, you know, he likes his team, doesn't think they need to really make a move. But before today, we had heard that the Rockets were interested in getting a couple of players just for depth. Looking at guards, Mario Chalmers, Jared Jack. You know, they had a deal in place to get Mike Dinwiddie before he was traded to Atlanta. KJ McDaniel was supposed to be a part of that deal, but the Rockets kind of stopped the negotiations there. And then there's been recent talk about them getting Serge Ibaka, who played with James in OKC. And Ibaka seemed to have one of his best games of the season last night when they played the Magic. It was pretty interesting where there was a part of the game, Harden got tangled up with somebody, and they're talking smack, and Ibaka comes to Harden and calms him down. And I just found that interesting in itself, just because James is close to Ibaka. So, but, you know, Daryl Morey said, look, if we make a trade, it will be because of depth, but we're not rushed to make a deal. So, yeah, they're kind of all over the map in a sense, but the reality is, you know, they could do something.
Yeah, and I assume that James having the relationship with Serge, and James, of course, being on the front lines talking about this today at practice, I assume that's a big deal because, let's be real, Harden's the likely MVP of the league, and so with that status, any move the Rockets make or don't make is going to be something that James probably signs off on. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, oh yeah, definitely. I'm sure he's going to be one of the first people that they're going to talk to about any deal. Harden has got a lot of say with the Rockets front office, as probably he should, like a lot of superstar players do. You've heard about LeBron James, you know, talking about wanting upgrades on the team and that kind of thing. And obviously, James Harden wants to do the same thing. But, you know, he's very loyal to these guys. He was part of the free agent, you know, recruiting process for Ryan Anderson, Eric Gordon. He's close to Trevor Ariza. He's close to Pat Beverly. He's close to Montrezl Harrell. So he likes this group, as he should. It is a good team.
Yeah, they are 38-17, third in the Western Conference. I'm wondering if some of this might be at least from James and Daryl's perspective, a little bit of posturing. And I'm curious your take on that, because they say, well, they're not anticipating a major move, but then you hear that they potentially have some interest in Serge Ibaka. Ibaka's definitely, yeah. He's not an all-star, but he's certainly a big name. So it seems to be one of those things, maybe they don't want to put the perception out there that they're really active, because you don't want to have guys in the locker room wondering, oh, am I going to be the guy that gets traded out, that kind of thing. They want to have everybody focused. Is it possible that there's some of that going on? Because if they're interested in Ibaka, that's not an all-star move, but it's a pretty decent size move.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think there is some posturing there. And if you can upgrade the talent on your team, you're going to do it. I don't care, you know, who you are. That's something you're going to do. And I think the Rockets would do that if given the opportunity to get a quality player. Ibaka, I think, definitely can help. I think we all can agree with that. The question is, who do you trade to get a Serge Ibaka? So obviously, as you know, with the cap, it's all about the money and it's finding something that fits. So with the Rockets, you know, I think they have 2 second-round picks. You have a first rounder, and then you look at the money. Corey Brewer is a possibility. He's been dangled out there. I definitely believe KJ McDaniel would go in an Ibaka deal. Then you might have to look at one of the other high-priced, talented players they have, like, you know, Trevor Ariza's got 2 years left. I don't think they would trade Brian Anderson, but the money has to work somehow.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's the big thing.
That's the trick because, yeah, Corey Brewer and KJ McDaniels, they would be enough salary-wise for Orlando. You combine those, you're at about $11 million. Ibaka is a little bit over 12. So you can make it work financially with Corey and KJ. The problem is that then beyond that, you have to give Orlando something that makes it worthwhile for them to do the deal. Because Corey and KJ obviously do not have a ton of value around the league. So be it future draft picks, something young like Montrezl Harrell, and of course I don't know what the Rockets can really afford to do without jeopardizing the chemistry of this team that's already playing really well. But it seems like that even though Corey and KJ would work from a financial perspective, where it gets tricky is, beyond that, we both know between us, Corey and KJ McDaniels is not enough for Orlando to do a deal. So,
right.
Yeah, so you got to throw in something, maybe draft picks, but you got to throw in something for Orlando to make it worth their while, and that's where it gets a little bit challenging, and maybe that's part of the reason why Daryl Morey's putting out this public perception, not just to you, but he said the same thing on my show a couple of weeks ago, said that he wasn't anticipating a major deal. And maybe it's because even though he is interested, maybe he knows the odds are a little low. I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I think the odds are harder to make a deal. As someone in the front office told me today, you know, when you're winning, it's harder to make these deals because you're winning and you like the talent that you have. And at the same time, as we just said, it's all about fitting the pieces in financially. And, you know, D'Antoni's system, well, it's easy to pick up. It's all about chemistry. It's all about just getting in the flow. And Mike keeps a tight rotation. You know, there were times when they had some health issues and back-to-back games, he only played 8 players when he maybe should have played 9 or 10. So his rotation, and I'm sure once we get closer to the playoffs and in the playoffs, that rotation will be super tight. I would think it'd be 8, maybe 9 in the playoffs. And at some point, the Rockets don't want to play all 3 centers. That means Montrezl Harrell is going to be the odd man out. So it's a, you know, making any type of deal is going to be tough for the Rockets just because of the chemistry they've built up and the money that it would take to get like a Serge Ibaka.
Sure. And you know the Magic are going to be after young assets. I kind of talked this out on my podcast earlier today, the initial podcast, and the more I think about it, even though the Magic, of course, are going to ask, I have a hard time seeing Houston deal Sam Dekker or Clint Capella. And the reason I come to that conclusion, no matter who the player is, those two guys are under contract for next year. Those are potential starting quality players who are going to make like $4 million between them. So when Houston goes into this summer, and you know Gerald's going to be active in July 2017, he always is, the ace in the hole card for Daryl Morey is having two potential starting quality players in Dekker and Capella making virtual pennies in the new cap. So given that backdrop, even if Orlando asks, to me it seems like it'd be really hard to move one of those guys.
Yeah, I'm not trying to trade Sam Decker. I know there was a lot of uncertainty about what he could do this year because he missed all of last year with the back surgery. Mm-hmm. And even D'Antoni said he didn't know what he had. But I'm keeping Sam Decker. He's going to be your future starting small forward. In terms of Capella, I'm not trading him either, because he is going to be your starting center probably for the next couple of years, as long as he stays healthy, and I believe he will. The wild card here is Montrezl Harrell. I like Montrezl Harrell, but I believe Montrezl Harrell probably thinks he should probably start. I don't know if he's a power forward. He definitely doesn't have the outside shooting lanes to be a stretch four. He's probably more of a traditional, the old school type centers or whatever. But he'd be a guy that I would want to keep to be the backup center for next year. But when his contract is up, I think Montrezl Harrell is going to look for a pretty nice chunk of change, regardless if the cap is regardless of how big the cap will be in about 2 years. I'm anticipating Montrezl Harrell would want a bigger slice of the pie and might go elsewhere. That's nothing against the Rockets, but I think Montrezl Harrell wants to play more, and he deserves to play more because he has really shown the Rockets that he's a good ball player.
Yeah, and of course, the past week he's gotten several DNP CDs, which is really odd. And I know it's one of those things. The Rockets just happen to be deep at the center position. Capella's back.
Yeah.
Nene's playing really well, so it's tough to get minutes. But yeah, maybe that's an option that if they make a bigger deal with Orlando, they could pursue, because maybe you sell high on Montrez. Because quite frankly, if he doesn't play and he gets closer to free agency, his value is going to go down. Maybe now you sell high because he's got a couple of years of cheap controlled labor. That's the only thing I can possibly think of maybe being a fit for Orlando. Because, yeah, I'm the same way with you. Decker and Capella, it's not just that they're future starters. It's that they're future starting quality players on ridiculously cheap contracts. So when you go into July free agency saying, okay, how can we go after an all-star and fit him with James Harden? Then those low salaries of Sam Decker and Clint Capella give you so many options. Now,
definitely. I agree. And, his other problem is Nene has a one-year deal, so I don't know if you want to bring him back. I don't know if he wants to come back in his 15th season, but Harrell will be a backup center. And if you trade Harrell now for Ibaka, who's on an expiring contract, who's your backup center, for next year? So while, yes, you're living in the moment of this season, but as you know, front office people are always looking down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to trade Montrezl Harrell, too. I just think you got to keep him, too.
Yeah. Maybe they're seeing something from Chinonu Anuaku, but it's tough for us to say because he hadn't been in Houston. We don't know what's going on down there other than the stat lines he puts up, which are decent. But
he's a wild card, too. Yeah. He could be they could say with him, look, you know what? You could be a backup center. We've seen enough from you in the D-League, and we'll let Montrez go. But for right now, I think that's very hard to do.
Yeah, because clearly putting up stats in Rio Grande Valley, it's tough to say how that translates to the Houston Rockets and the Western Conference of the NBA. We spent a lot of time on this show talking about the bigs and, of course, the rumor with Ibaka and how you could possibly fit that. The other interesting thing, of course, that you had in your story today, not just you mentioned Mike Dunleavy possibility, which I think that ship has sailed at this point, but you said they had also poked around about two guards, being Jarrett Jack and Mario Chalmers. Both are free agents. I saw you also tweeted out later in the day that you'd like to see them get more guard depth. And when you think about it, there's a lot of truth there, because right now there are really only three guards that you can trust in James, Pat, and Eric Gordon. You can't really consider Corey Brewer a guard because he can't shoot. And beyond that, there's nobody else. No disrespect to Tyler Ennis or Bobby Brown, but it's pretty clear that Mike D'Antoni doesn't trust them. So yeah, I'm kind of with you. If you can pick up a decent guard, that's a need to have a fourth guard that you can trust, because what happens if Eric Gordon has another sprained toe or Pat Beverly has another bout with a wrist or something like that? All it takes is one injury, and then that backcourt gets really thin.
Yeah, it was thin for a little bit, because remember, Pat was playing with his with his wrist problem for a little bit, and then Harris had a toe. I think getting another guard, come off the bench, maybe 8 to 10 minutes, maybe could help if something goes wrong, health-wise, or maybe even if someone gets in foul trouble in the playoffs, here you have somebody. It's kind of like Pablo Prigioni a couple years ago. I remember they had him in camp, and he was a surprise. And I thought, oh, Tyler Ennis is going to get some. And he did earlier in the year because Beverly was out. And then Beverly returns, and then we don't see Tyler Ennis again. And so I think they do need another ball handler to take a little pressure off James, a little pressure off Pat, who's playing really good right now of late.
Yeah.
So I just think there's nothing wrong with having an extra guard helping out a little bit. It's, you know, the minutes are not a problem for the Rockets, especially with James. He led the league in minutes the last couple of years, and I think he's six right now. So, you know, that might even reduce his minutes a little bit more, maybe about 35, 45 seconds. So every little bit helps. But, yeah, I think they do need another guard.
And
a big would be good, too, but a guard maybe might be better than a big.
And it gives you some Brewer insurance because – lately, Brewer's been better, but we've both seen these games where Corey Brewer and his inability to shoot, he becomes a net negative. And so with the Rockets, you know Mike D'Antoni's a big believer in kind of positionless basketball. So yeah, if you go through a stretch where Brewer starts slumping again, you can throw one of those guys, even though they're technically a different position, with the way the Rockets play, the fact they have a 6'5" point guard in James Harden, you could easily throw in one of those guys in place of Brewer's minutes as well. So it gives you a lot more flexibility, a lot more options. And as I said leading off, the bottom line is that you know that Mike, for whatever reason, he just doesn't trust Tyler Ennis and Bobby Brown to play rotation minutes. So that's where it's interesting.
No, he doesn't trust
him. Yeah. So I'm curious where things left off. You said they kind of checked in on him, but obviously there's no deal. I guess it's something that, you know, they've kind of inquired, and it's something they could pick up at some point in the future if they feel like they want to go that route.
With
Ibaka? No. With the guards. You said they had checked in.
Yes, with the guards. They've checked in. I just think it's, you know, look, the trade deadline's not until, I think, the 23rd. So you really, there's no rush. It's not going to end tomorrow. You know, you do your evaluation, see where you are. They're playing pretty good now. You know, I think they have 3 games left before the break.
Yeah.
So, so if you go into the break feeling strong, everyone gets a week off. And then you bring him back and you say, you know, before you bring him back, you know, you'll probably have your answer because they play in New Orleans on the 24th. I think they play in New Orleans the day of the deadline.
Deadline day.
Yeah, because I'll be at that game. I think you have to explore it just to see. And then those guys are free agents, so you're not up against the trade deadline. But getting Ibaka, you are. You have to make a decision on that, and then you don't know if someone else is trying to get a Ibaka. He had a really nice showing last night against the Rockets. Kufis over in Sacramento, I thought they really liked him, but they've cooled on him a little bit from what I've been told. So, you know, this is it's going to be pretty interesting what the Rockets do. But they are in good shape if they don't make a deal or not.
It sounds like to me, just kind of putting the pieces together, there's only 3 games until the deadline because, of course, they're going to have 8 days off between next Wednesday, their home against Miami, and then the deadline day because the deadline backs up to the All-Star break. So, really, you've only got 3 games left at Charlotte tomorrow and then Phoenix and Miami at home, and they're going to be big favorites in all of those games. Let's just be real there. They should win all three. There's no real incentive to make a move now for one of these free agent guards. It sounds like they're kind of saying, you know what, rather than commit ourselves to a roster spot, let's just see what happens through the deadline, because there's only 3 games, and they're probably going to win those 3 games no matter what, or at least they should. So maybe, you know, let's just get through these 3 games, see what happens at the deadline, and then if nothing happens, then you revisit those guys like Jarrett Jack, like, who was the other one? Jarrett Jack and
Mario Chalmers.
There you go.
Mario Chalmers, yeah.
Yeah, revisit those after the deadline and maybe even look at some buyout candidates then as well, because, of course, after the deadline up until March 1st, you're going to have a few buyouts around the league anyway. So if they don't make a move at the deadline, is it fair to say that, you know, late February after deadline, Rockets are probably going to be active in the market for maybe one more guard or wing player, let's say?
Yeah, I would think so. I think that'd be a smart bet. I mean, as I said, you can never get enough depth, you know, on your team. You just never can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree on that. Wrapping up now with Calvin Watkins, Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com. Calvin, thank you so much for joining us. Got one final question for you before letting you go, and it's not really about trades. It's more about just where this team is at. They went through a rocky patch after starting 31-9. They lost 8 of their next 13. They had all sorts of injury issues, fatigue issues. The past week, it hadn't always been pretty. We know the fourth quarter against Atlanta was brutal, but they've won 3 of 4 games. 2 of those 4, they've won by 20-plus. So does it feel like that maybe you're starting to see the signs of a turnaround? Over the past week, have you seen a few glimpses of that Rockets team that, you know, everybody was on board with being a contender maybe this time a month ago?
Yeah, they're all playing a lot better. I mean, you know, I've talked to the players about this at length. You go, this is a peak and valley type thing. You know, they peaked in December, and now, they, you know, they're tired, and they're going through a valley right now. But if they finish these next couple of games on a high note, win them, you know, the loss in Atlanta was pretty bad because you had a big lead late in the fourth. But if you finish strong going into the break, you should be okay. And I think they are in good shape. D'Antoni's talked all season about stacking wins and maintaining a high seed. You want home court. Morey talked to me about that. Hey, if we can, the goal is to get a home court. So how do you get home court in the playoffs? You want a top four seed in your conference. So they're the third seed. Maybe they play Memphis in the first round. Maybe OKC. Those are tough games, you know.
No doubt.
They're not winnable games, you know. And then they got to move on to the San Antonios and the Golden States of the world. So the higher the seed so that you get that home court for potential 7-game series, the better. And they've done that so far this year.
Yep, I would agree. Calvin, thank you so much for the time, and I'll chat with you again, I guess this weekend, next time they're back at Toyota Center, okay?
Yeah, cool. Thanks, man.
Have a good night, Calvin.
You too, bro.
That's Calvin Watkins, ESPN.com. If you're not already following him, I don't know what you're doing in Rockets Twitter, but, well, you can follow him at Calvin Watkins. Pretty easy to find. You can also, well, go to his Twitter page, or you can find his report on ESPN.com today. The public comments from Harden and Morey, but more importantly, the stuff he's hearing from behind the scenes about their interest in Jarrett Jack and Mario Chalmers, as well as having some trade interest in Serge Ibaka. I think he kind of hit the nail on the head at the very end that it's going to come down to timing. It's not that the Rockets aren't in the market for those guys. It's that when you look at the schedule and how it breaks down, there's no incentive now for them to make a lesser move. Because who knows if you're going to need one of those roster spots. The easy move, sure, you just let Bobby Brown go again and you replace him with a Jarrett Jack. That's simple enough. But if you don't need that to win games, then why not keep that roster spot open and see what happens at the trade deadline? You never know what's going to happen. You don't want to sign Jarrett Jack, give him that money, cut Bobby Brown, and then find out you need that roster spot in 2 weeks, especially when you're 3 games before the break. They're starting to play better. Charlotte, Phoenix, Miami, if they lose one of those games, it sure as heck shouldn't be because of the absence of Jarrett Jack or Mario Chalmers. And you also don't know who might appear on the buyout market, because buyout discussions aren't really going to get going until after the deadline, because nobody wants to say, okay, we're going to waive this guy. They want to see if they can get some value for him to extract real assets at the deadline. So you're going to have a couple more guys in the Friday, Saturday after the deadline to potentially pop open that maybe the Rockets weren't anticipating. So I think this is a smart play. Since you've kind of gotten through this rocky patch, you've won 3 of 4, and you should be big favorites in your remaining 3 games before the deadline, there's no reason to show your hand now. It is a need for the Rockets, even if they can't strike a bigger deadline deal. And, well, if you want to hear about the Ibaka stuff, obviously Calvin and I talked about it on this show. You can go back to my podcast earlier today, as well as the one on Monday. We've got plenty of Ibaka talk and how the Rockets might could make a deal. Now I want to concentrate on the smaller ones, because that's what's in the Rockets' control, those depth moves that Daryl has talked about. And it sounds like, yeah, they're certainly in the market and planning on doing that. It's just a matter of the timing. And yeah, when you think about it, there's not really an incentive the way the schedule and the calendar breaks down to do that deal now. I think the Rockets are playing it right. You wait until after the deadline. You see if maybe you need that roster spot. You also see maybe that Friday or Saturday after the deadline, if somebody shakes free via a buyout that you weren't expecting, they might be better than Jarrett Jack or Mario Chalmers. But if they don't, then you can probably still, in a couple of weeks, return to those guys and inquire about signing them then. And I think they will understand. Really, Jarrett Jack coming off the Achilles injury, you'd probably welcome the time off to get more physically ready anyway. And these guys, these are veterans. They know the way the game is played. So I don't think they're going to take any offense to the Rockets kind of inquiring about them, then backing off. No, they know the trade deadline. People always want to keep their options open. But the key thing that I take out of Calvin's piece today is that the Rockets do see it as a need. They are looking to address it. It's just a matter of the timing, and they're going to see if anything bigger shakes through in the next couple of weeks. Maybe that will be Serge Ibaka. We'll have to wait and see, because I don't think it's going to happen over the next week. I think teams are going to wait until they get to the All-Star break so they can have some face-to-face conversations at the game, and then especially when that deadline pressure starts ratcheting up the Monday and Tuesday after the All-Star game. I think that's what we'll see a lot more deals, because I think right now it's pretty clear. Those comments from Morey and Harden, it's what they have to say. I'm not calling them liars. I think there's some truth in it. I think they are very happy with the team they have right now. I think they do really love those guys. But you also know if they see a chance to improve their team and give themselves a real shot at competing with the Warriors or the Spurs, you know they're going to do it. Chemistry's not going to stand in the way. That's just what they need to say right now, because it's a vote of confidence to the locker room. You don't want to have guys in there wondering, well, if they're making a deal for Ibaka, am I the one heading out? You don't want to have guys questioning their roles. You don't want to make it seem like you're not confident in them. You want to keep the good vibes going, show that you're buying in, and if a trade happens, you deal with it. But you don't plan for it to happen. You just keep going with what you have, and if you are able to swing a deal for the likes of Serge Ibaka, you make it a welcome surprise. You don't want to set the expectation that high, because really, it's never within your control. The Rockets last year went into the All-Star break at 27-28. Remember how disappointing that team was last year? I have never seen a team more desperate to make a move. And they looked at dealing Dwight, they looked at doing a lot of things, and they did nothing. The one thing they did, they traded Demo to the Detroit Pistons, and that got voided because of the physical. So they pretty much did nothing at the deadline, despite having every incentive to it. It's not because Daryl Morey didn't try, it's because it is never fully within your control at the deadline. It depends on finding an acceptable deal for both sides. You can never control the market. So I think the Rockets are playing it smart. All I'm telling you guys is, my listeners, as fans, don't get too caught up in what the public statements are. These are just what they have to say, because they want to keep the guys in that locker room focused on the task at hand, which is winning in Charlotte tomorrow night. They don't want anybody thinking, reading Twitter, searching for rumors. They want them to think that's just nonsense, not to buy into it. And if something does happen, they'll deal with that then. And maybe it's a little bit harsh for the players, but as far as the direction of the team and the near-term fortune of their product on the basketball floor, I think we can all agree that that's clearly the right path to take. Anyway, on that note, I will wrap up this rare two-day episode of Locked on Rockets. Appreciate all of you guys for listening. Again, I'm Ben Dubose. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Dubose. That was Calvin Watkins. You can follow him on Twitter at Calvin Watkins. Great Rockets beat writer for ESPN.com. This, of course, is Locked on Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of the Houston Rockets, and, well, the only outlet giving you that. In this case, more than daily. It's twice daily. But, yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked on Rockets. You can also subscribe to the show, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Audio Boom. Just search for Locked on Rockets, and you can find us pretty easily. Please subscribe to us. Please rate us. Also, don't hesitate to shoot us an email at lockedonrockets@gmail.com. If you've got questions for me, suggestions, or if you would like to inquire about becoming a potential sponsor of this show down the line. For now, I will sign off and, well, enjoy the rest of the Wednesday off day. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow night when the Rockets take on the Charlotte Hornets in Charlotte. For now, enjoy your evening.